This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, your host, and with us is now is our co-host, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders, and you can reach him online at rippleconnects.com, rippleconnects.com, or call him at 763-438-1621. Good morning, and welcome back, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable, and I'm excited to talk about our topic today. We want to talk about mentoring. You know, and I remember being in college, and they said you needed to find a mentor. And I have to tell you that all through college, unless I'm just living under a rock, I don't think I had a mentor. But in the traditional sense, has mentoring expanded its has the term mentor expanded, or is there more of a defined look at what a real mentor is when we're talking about expanding a career?
Well, I think mentoring in itself evolved because we were able to find mentors more easily. You know, when I first started in the office equipment industry, the mentors were in my building. And then I realized that the more I got out and the more I was connected via email or just social media allowed me to stay more connected to the people that I could potentially, you know, work with. I think mentoring has just evolved. Think about it this way, Freddie. There's more generations in the workplace because generations are working longer. So I think there is more opportunities for generations that are still in the workforce to take someone, you know, in mentor that may be, you know, two or three generations, you know, behind them. But, you know, mentoring is not for everybody. I've had mentors and I've had people that I've mentored, and every situation looks a little bit different in regard, because it's another human being.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that the people that move forward in their careers and strive for more, many of them can cite mentors. You look at Oprah Winfrey, and Maya Angelou was one of her mentors. So you think about the power of mentoring in your career. But for the Baby Boomer New Beginnings listeners, audience, think about how you might be able to help someone in their career that's, you know, similar to where you were 30, 40 years ago. And that's a powerful thing, since we are talking about baby boomers and 10,000 of them retiring turning 65 in this country each day. Mentoring is not for everybody, but for a lot of people that will be hitting their retirement years, mentoring may be one of the most healthy and connected things that they can do by giving back, giving of their gifts, really carving out their legacy in regards to helping others to achieve similar or higher goals.
Exactly. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connect. We're talking about mentoring this week. Joe, I'm thinking that there are at least two types of mentoring, one a formal mentorship and another that is informal. Let's talk about the informal mentorship in terms of from the baby boomers' perspective.
Yeah, and that's where most of my mentors came from, more of an informal relationship to start with, and a better understanding of where I was trying to go. And for them, my mentors, and I've talked about my first mentor, and I met well over, I would say, 10 plus years ago, that he was instrumental in helping me formalize my training, my coaching, and eventually my company. Freddie, he was the first person to recognize the gifts I had to give. And that started very informally. We were in a jobs group together, and he was helping people, and I was in transition. And he told me, he said, "Joe, what I see, what the skills you bring from the copier industry that you're in, your skills and your ability to connect to so many people in so many different industries, you're going to turn this, the Twin Cities, upside down in regards to your coaching. And I didn't believe him because I just didn't know him well enough, Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
But as the years went on, we each started to see what I was potentially could do with those skills, because I was coming out of an industry. But I know my mentor was so proud of some of those early accomplishments. And unfortunately, he passed away several years ago before the New Beginnings program launched. But you know what, Freddie, in my heart of hearts, I think he knew. Mm-hmm. I think he knew I was going somewhere with that. I just didn't know it at the time. But really, the most important part was the time I did spend with him. And I hope for me, as I enter my retirement years, I would hope that I could find, you know, someone I could work with. I may not set out every day looking for someone. I think I would just kind of be open to it. And that, I think being open to it's the informal nature of mentoring. Do you agree with that?
I do. Freddie? I do, because I have more experience with the formal nature of mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on the receiving end of the formal nature, where there's a group call and the person who's doing the mentoring gives this sermonette, so to speak, and I'm sitting there, and typically it was asked, the mentee is asking for help in their own specific areas, but I didn't, and so they were just doing some blocking and tackling, but I didn't see the real transfer of knowledge in a formal sense. So from your perspective, what is the formal mentoring position look like for a baby boomer? What position should they be taking, or what's the most effective way? I guess is a better way of asking the question.
Well, I think there's organizations out there that can help facilitate this formal mentoring. It could be, just seeking, you know, some of the nonprofits in the Twin Cities and reaching out to them and letting them know what your skill sets are and some of the gifts that you would like to share. There are organizations out there that can help you, that can help, you know, put this together. And it could be, like you said, in more of a group setting or one-on-one, or, you know, just working within the realms of, I know I work with a lot of military veterans groups where they partner, you know, veterans up with someone that's been in, you know, working in this realm for a long time. They get paired up. Corporations often are open to bringing in, you know, that the skills that may be in retirement years back to the corporate world. I think those are the structures or the systems that allow for more of a formal mentoring to be set up. So there's both out there, and I guess it's, you know, kind of where you're at in your own retirement lifestyle. Do you want to work with veterans? Do you want to work in the corporate world? Or do you want, if it's someone within your faith organization or your neighborhood or someone that you worked with, more of an informal way, then you allow that to happen. But I can say that informal mentoring just doesn't happen immediately. That takes time. You build up trust. You build up rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And mentors have to be very discerning on who they can work with, because mentors are not your best friends. Mentors are someone that can make you better. And so pushing back and the ability to help someone grow, that's not necessarily your best friend that you're working with, but someone that you can bring the most value to.
Joe, we're almost running out of time, because, and here's a big question. So how does a baby boomer decide to become a mentor? Is there a mentor school?
I think you look back on your careers and see if you were energized and you felt you brought value to someone else's career while you were in the workforce. I think that is something that you should take the next steps to consider, either an informal or a formal type of mentoring role in your retirement years.
Interesting. Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend as we talk about mentoring, as we start to segue into a new thrust of what we're doing with New Beginnings. And mentoring is a topic that I know that people hear about mentoring and they want to be mentored, or maybe they weren't mentored very well. As we wind up our segment this week, Joe, what is one thing that you'd like for our baby boomers to understand and remember when they think about mentorship going into retirement?
I think the biggest takeaway that our listeners should know today is that if you have gifts and you want to share them, they will be welcomed. And I know that even in my age, you know, as I work with someone that's in their 20s or 30s, it's something that I've developed and I've been able to pass that knowledge on or share that experience of what I went through is welcomed. And that's where that intergenerational interaction is so critical today, is that our gifts are welcomed. We may not be as computer savvy or tech savvy as someone that's 20 or 30 years old, but think of the gifts, and that's the key word. Think of our gifts that we have to share with someone that may be in a similar position that we were in years ago.
Makes sense. That's Joe McKenzie. We have to leave it right there, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connect, sir.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our program continues right now.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell with you. Now we turn our attention to your health, and we're talking about your health as it relates to COVID-19. And we have the Behavioral Health Program Coordinator for the Office of Emergency Preparedness with the Minnesota Department of Health, Nancy Carlson. Good morning, and welcome back to our program.
Hi, Freddie. Thank you for asking me back to speak with your audience today.
You're very welcome. And we have a lot to get to today, but before we get there, we want to make sure that we take some allotted time to talk about some of the resources up front. If people are feeling stressed, if they have a need to expand their community base, or they just need a resource, can you share a couple of ideas with us before we start in our question and our conversation today?
Yes, I really want to make sure that your audience is aware of a new hotline that was developed. The Phyllis Wheatley Community Center and the African American Leadership Forum have developed the Minnesota Black Community COVID hotline. It's a 24 hours, 7 days a week hotline, and you can reach it at 612-254-1145. And what's great about this hotline is that this is based through, it's funded through our community connectors, and so they connect people up with resources. So they will help you with connecting with mental health resources, but they'll also help you with, you know, finding out where there's testing sites for COVID, you know, giving you information on masks, hand sanitizers, cleaning supplies. Mm-hmm. They'll also be able to give you some information and resources if you're struggling to be able to get food for your family, or you're having some health issues too and need to connect with maybe a, you know, a healthcare provider and you don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. They also have information on employment and unemployment assistance, and then housing, childcare, and then even more so, they also have information for you on helping you work through legal rights and legal services. So they're really a very comprehensive service for the African-American community in dealing with COVID here now and all the other things that, that the community has been struggling with this last year.
So that is the Black Community COVID Helpline, Nancy?
Yes, it's the Minnesota Black Community COVID-19 Hotline.
All right, and that number is 612-254-1145?
Yes.
All right. I'm paying attention, believe it or not. 612-254-1145. And that's some help for you, immediate help right now. And as we talk about help, I know that we're right in the middle of the holiday season, and a lot of people are dealing with the idea of, or the feelings, I should say, of loneliness and loss due to COVID-19 this holiday season. And it seems as if the longer we go into this pandemic, Nancy, more and more people are coming close to people they know who have the illness. Family members have passed away, or they're asymptomatic and may have passed it along unknowingly to somebody else. How do you acknowledge your feelings when you're feeling this idea of or being lonely as we go through this with the isolation that we have to go through, the staying in place to make sure that we don't make other people ill or pass along the disease?
Yes. I think the most important thing for us to state up front is that, and we all know this, COVID-19 is overwhelmingly defined as a disaster, a crisis of grief and loss. Everyone has experienced some type of loss, whether it's, you know, loss of being able to go into the office and work if that's what you want to do, or loss of being able to go to school in person or have your job, or like you said, loss of our health, loss of loved ones, loss of being able to connect with others. We've all experienced something with this, and it's causing differing levels, depending upon your level of loss, and also on your level of past trauma. And we know that people of color have a lot of levels of trauma that they're dealing with, you know, that they continue to deal with them. More COVID is placing even more upon that, just because of the rates of illness within the population. Mm-hmm. So dealing with all of that, has higher grief within this for everyone. So just acknowledge that to start with, I think, is important, that it's that we realize that people are going to be sad. And it's okay. That's the other thing. It's okay. You know, too often in our society, we tell people just to suck it up, you know, that this is what it is. And it's okay to take time to cry and express your feelings. You know, you can't force yourself to be happy just because it's supposed to be the happiest time of year as we move into the holidays.
Wow.
If you're not feeling that, you know?
You're the first person I've heard through this whole 9 months talking about it's grief, and it's okay to express your feelings. It's okay to be sad.
Yeah. I mean, you need to do that. There's a process of dealing with grief. When you ignore it, all you're doing is shoving it down, and it's going to come up. It's going to come up in other ways. Now, having said, acknowledge it, I'm not saying wallow in it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference.
That's not good either.
So not wallowing in it, that tells me that perhaps we need to connect or reach out to some people or reach out to resources.
Absolutely. If we're feeling lonely, isolated, sad, we really need to reach out to other people. human beings, no matter how much of an introvert you are, need to know that there's somebody there that we can connect with that cares about how we're feeling. But if we don't reach out in this time of isolation, no one knows what we're going through. So, you know, reach out with a text, a call, or a video chat to a friend or a family member. That's really important, you know, to let other people know how we're doing and to talk and connect. We need to connect to feel good.
I know it's a crisis of the mind. I was talking with Michael Osterholm not long ago, and he was saying that we want a social distance, he says, but I'd rather call it physical distance rather than social distance. He says it's important to remain social. And in being social, Nancy, does that help us with the traumatic feeling of isolation or the stress that we feel during this time of year and dealing with the pandemic itself?
I think that's a part of it that's going to help us. I think we also need to take some action when we're feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. I mean, social is good, but part of social is not, I mean, I truly agree with Mike that it's that we need to think of this as physical distancing and not social or emotionally distancing. But part of loneliness is not just emotionally reaching out. It's also doing things. People feel really constricted, you know, of not being able to get out or not being able to do things. So we can't do the things that we used to do, but we can take action. And taking action during a disaster or a crisis, whether it's a pandemic or it's a flood, when we do something, especially when we're doing something to help somebody else, even if we don't feel like doing it to start with, it makes us feel better.
Interesting. So doing something, could that include maybe volunteering?
Absolutely. We can volunteer to, and if we don't want it, so when we're doing that physical distancing, you know, normally I would say at this time of year, volunteer at a soup kitchen or volunteer to, and you can volunteer to do grocery shopping for an elderly or an ill relative. You can also volunteer just to, you know, bake a pie or some cookies and bring it to a family member. Just doing something, even if it's just making a poster and handing it to someone, doing something that makes you feel like you're actually helping another person and they appreciate it. Well, you know, we don't do these actions that often for each other.
We don't. And Nancy, we're just about out of time, but I know that you wanted to have a word about suicide prevention. We know that could be prevalent during this time. Is there a suicide hotline that you might want to share with us that people can avail themselves to?
Unfortunately, this is a time when we see spikes in suicide because of people feeling isolated and lonely. And I do want you to know that if you're having thoughts of harming yourself or if you know of somebody who is, don't poo-poo those thoughts. You know, encourage them or you reach out and get information on how to help your friend by calling the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
All right. And that COVID Black Community Helpline, again, 612-254-1145. Nancy Carlson, thanks so much for being with us this morning on New Beginnings.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. And our show continues right now.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a point at listening each week at this time. And joining us right now, Jay Hapala, who is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement with AARP Twin Cities. Jay, good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. It's good to be here. Thanks.
I'm glad you're with us. And it's time to talk about a little empowerment. I know we talk often about scams and so forth, but and we want to talk about that today. But from an empowerment standpoint, how do we begin?
That is so true that, you know, we can work together, we can support each other, and together we can stay a step ahead of the con artists who are working every day to try to take the money that we so work so hard to earn and save for ourselves and our families. And we can support each other and really be empowered to stay a step ahead of the con artists.
If you were to give us one just surefire way to stay ahead of the con artists before we get into the meat of our program, what would that be? What should we do?
Yeah, when I talk with the public and just when I'm speaking with anyone about scams and identity theft, everyone wants to focus on the specific scams and learn about the latest tricks, and that's okay. It's good to be educated. It's good to be informed, and the facts are that when people know about certain scams, they are much more likely to stay protected and not end up being the next victim. But that only goes so far because, of course, the con artists are hard at work inventing new scams and coming up with new ways to trick us, and no one can understand everything there is to know about scams. So to your question about what's one thing we can do, it really is having conversations with each other and having those connections with the people that you trust and the people in your families and your friends and supporting each other, talking about money, talking about financial decisions so that you don't have to go it alone. We can work together, stay a step ahead of the bad guys.
That is really an empowerment step in itself. And I know during the holidays, you're talking about how the scammers have shifted again, Jay, to really take advantage of our hearts and so forth during this time of the season. What are you seeing right now that we should at least have our antennas up to be aware?
Yeah, if you're like me, then you've noticed new text messages and different kind of emails coming into your inbox, probably talking about holiday shopping, probably with the, you know, giving donations to charities this time of year. And the scammers are right there with them. So good scammers know where the action is. And so some of the scams we're monitoring, you know, like I said, for me personally, and also through our national call center where we take scam reports, we're looking at a lot of package delivery scams, which I can explain, a lot of online deals that are just too good to be true, a lot of scams that involve gift cards, and then the charities, like I've said, so fake charities that are sending out solicitations for money and personal information.
You got my interest with that package delivery scam. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so a lot of people right now, they're ordering online more than ever and expecting deliveries to come to their doorstop or their doorstep every day. And so what the scammers do is they send out fake emails that sometimes tell you that there's been a problem with your delivery and you have to click here and enter some information in order to make sure that package is delivered. Or it could be even a confirmation email. So you, in order to have your delivery process, you have to provide some more information. But they're just imposters who know that a lot of us are expecting those deliveries. And so we're likely to click on those messages and share too much information.
Too many scams for us to cover in one session. We're going to have to invite you back. But if there is one thing that you talked about, the drained gift card, can you briefly talk about that, Jay?
Yeah, scammers focus on gift cards because they're risky. There's no consumer protection. It's not the same thing as a personal check or a credit card payment. There's no protection. So one, be careful if you're at the store. Take a good look at that gift card. If you're going to purchase it, make sure it hasn't been tampered with. And then if anyone's asking you to make a payment with the gift card, be very suspicious about making that payment or giving the number off of the gift card to anyone who's asking for it. Gift cards are for gifts and presents, and they're not for payments.
Wow. Let's talk about quickly about charity scams. And if we've got some time here, magazine scams, Jay?
Sure. If we have the time, I'm happy to go over it with you.
Okay.
You know, I said it before that imposters are out there sending out requests for donations to fake charities. anyone considering making a charitable donation at any time of the year should be verifying the status or the validity of that charity before they hand out any money or write a check or make a credit card payment. It's dangerous or risky, at least, to respond to solicitations for charitable donations. Instead, people should be researching and looking up the different places they want to make their donations.
Well, as we empower ourselves, and if we need more information, is there a helpline or a resource for us, Jay?
Yeah, definitely. So we run our Fraud Watch Network program nationwide, and there's a phone number folks can call to verify what might be a scam. And certainly for those who have been victimized, they can get help. And that number is 877-908-3360.
All right. That's Jay Hampala, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Twin Cities. And this is Freddie Bell.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. Where has the year gone? And with us all year long, as she's been for several years, is Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. The center is located squarely in the middle of North Minneapolis, 1015 4th Avenue North. Her telephone number is 612-344-2221. The governor, as everybody knows, recently announced another shutdown for 4 weeks, and it ends just one week before Christmas. And I understand that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center remains open. Kitty, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie, and happy Saturday.
Same to you.
Yes. One of the things that I get a call on a daily basis is people asking me, is the center closed? And I always want to remind people that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has remained open during this entire pandemic, serving our community. And what open means to us is that North Point Health and Wellness is still seeing patients. Oldham Health and Wellness is still providing that critical physical therapy aspect. Open Circle is still providing necessary adult day care for our seniors. And we do have our staff at Grace Hospice and Home Health still going into the community and serving our most vulnerable population.
This is a really difficult time for a lot of people with the uncertainty. And I'm wondering, what are you hearing at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center as we hear about vaccines, we hear about antibodies, even close personal friends are saying that they are able to contribute because of their blood and their body makeup. What are you hearing at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center that gives you hope for a better society?
One of the things that we hear, the conversation that we continue to have is that how can we make sure that we are still getting our seniors access to all of the things that they need, whether that be food, whether it's social interaction, whether it's health care, whether it's physical therapy. And so the conversation has been hopeful because once we got a handle of what we needed to do to safely protect our seniors from COVID-19, we were able to put the necessary structures in place so that we could still provide services. One of our biggest things that we were able to do with Open Circle Adult Day is safely start to bring our seniors back into the building for those much needed day services with COVID-19 protocols in place, with sanitation protocols in place, with our staff being in the proper PPE. And so when we see our seniors pull up on their Metro Mobility buses on a daily basis, it is just such a warm feeling to know that they are able to get access to that service. We do wish that we could be operating at our initial capacity, but of course we are serving less seniors than we were at the beginning of the year when we were serving anywhere from 30 to 40 on a daily basis. We're no longer able to do that, but we are still able to bring all of those seniors in a rotation on a limited capacity and give them access to those resources.
It's interesting that people are still coming shows you the real need and the service that you provide for our senior community at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that people don't realize is that isolation causes such a severe depression in our most vulnerable population. And when you don't have that movement on a daily basis, when you don't, just something as simple that we take for granted as getting up, getting dressed, and leaving your home and seeing another person and having that human contact can be such a downfall for our seniors, and it causes them to go into a slope where it's hard for them to recover when they lose that connection, because it's part of their functionality. And so we're able to still be able to provide these resources. We're also still having Alive and Kicking and still doing their rehearsals on Mondays. And we have figured out how to have about 5 people in the room safely, and then the rest do the meeting via Zoom. And so, again, just having that important interaction with other members of your community and knowing that you're not forgotten has done so much for their spirits. And when you look at their faces, everybody is just excited to be able to be engaged with something and know that they're safe and that their well-being is our first priority.
Well, a lot of that is a testament of your wonderful management of as being the property manager at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We're out of time, but if people would like to get more information about the services you provide and your collaborative partners, how can they reach out to you, Kitty?
They can give us a call at our main number, which is 612-344-2221. They visit us on our Facebook page at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and leave us a message. We will respond there. Or they can give me a call directly at 612-344-2209.
All right. That's Kitty Harris from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
We're getting close to the end of the year, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me now is Kelly Von Heidekamp. She is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis. You can find Kelly online at westmetrohypnosis.com, or you can reach her at 952-222-3975. It's time for a mental reset with Kelly.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having me, Freddie. Thank you, listeners. Let's just take a moment to use this time deliberately, consciously, for our benefit, for our highest good, so that we can all move boldly forward in more beneficial ways. Let's begin just by taking a breath. Give yourself the opportunity to feel an inhale and to move through an exhale. All we need in order to do a beneficial, positive reset is our breath. And if we look at this time of year, this time of shorter days, of longer nights, where it gets darker more quickly, sooner, where it's cold, it's almost like an invitation to move inward. And so during this time that you take in these next few moments, you can just give yourself an opportunity to move your attention inward. Even if your outside eyes have to pay attention to the road that you're driving on, you'll be able to do that, paying attention to keep you safe, and yet still becoming aware of something deeper inside, an inward being that you can acknowledge in this moment, the beingness that exists beyond your mind, that exists beyond your personality, that exists beyond all of the different roles you play throughout a day, wife, husband, mother, father, brother, sister, spouse, employee, employer, whatever it is, all the different roles. That deeper part that goes beyond all of those roles, that deeper part that simply wants to feel a breath, that wants to feel this human existence in all shape, ways, and forms, that wants to understand a deeper truth about yourself. A truth that is constant, that doesn't change with the whims or the winds. A truth that is so constant that it reflects the true self, the one that exists as unconditional love, the true self that exists as acceptance, as grace, as everything that is good in this world.
And regardless of how you feel about that statement, you can decide what it feels like when you begin to entertain this deeper aspect of yourself right now through your breath. So thank you for being here. I wish you well.
And we wish you well too, Kelly. Kelly Von Hottekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, 952-222-3975 or westmetrohypnosis.com. You're listening to New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Please welcome to our show Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's a member of President-elect Joe Biden's Transition COVID-19 Advisory Board. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Glad you're here. Three big news items are happening just as we come on the air this morning, the first of which is that we're hearing that Pfizer is rolling out 800,000 doses of vaccine, Pfizer's vaccine in the UK this morning. Secondly, there's a statement from Dr. Fauci, and also Southern California is on lockdown. What does that mean now that we see the 800,000 doses rolling out in UK? What does that mean for the United States?
Well, first of all, the good news is that, in fact, the vaccine is now coming. The release of the vaccine in England is just an indication of what's coming here in the next several weeks. The problem with it, however, and there is one, is that we can't get enough soon enough. At this point, it will take us months to get a sufficient amount of vaccine in this country to actually vaccinate all of our citizens. On top of that, we do have a job ahead of us convincing everyone that this vaccine is safe, that it's effective, and that they want to take it. At this point, there are data that support that anywhere from 40 to 45% of the U.S. public doesn't believe in the safety of the vaccine or that that it'll work and are indicating they won't take it. We even see in physicians up to 30+% of physicians who are wondering about the safety of the vaccine. And we have not done a good job at all around the world and particularly in this country of helping to educate the public and our healthcare professionals about the safety of this vaccine, what it means, what kind of vaccine it is, what data we have that supports that it's safe, and in fact, what it can do. Remember, we have almost 2,000 plus people a day dying in this country from COVID-19 right now. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, we have a lot of work that we need to do to help them understand that the way that we're going to prevent those deaths and from our hospitals from being overrun is to use this vaccine as it becomes available.
So what can you say to people right now who are listening, not only in the Twin Cities, but around the country, from Michael Osterholm, that can give us some confidence that the vaccine does have efficacy and can help to save lives?
Well, actually, the studies that have been done have involved well over hundreds of thousands of people in terms of looking at these vaccines, these messenger RNA vaccines, this new type of we call platform, the way to deliver the vaccine. Think of the vaccine itself as being kind of more the box that the present comes in. And the part that we're vaccinating people against, whether it be measles or mumps or any other disease, the part of the virus in this case we're trying to get the body to believe has now, you know, been artificially infected, you might say, so it makes an immune response as if it were a natural infection. That part of the virus we know, but the part about how to get that aspect into the human is what's new right now. But again, as I point out, it's not really that new. We've actually had a lot of experience with this over recent years. And so what we want to do is let people know that these messenger RNA vaccines are the vaccines of the future. This is how we'll be delivering them. You know, just like in the old days, for a couple of people in your audience who remember the old phone lines, you know, the hard lines, you know, when the wall was, the phone was attached to the wall. Most people can't remember that today. Well, think of that where we're today with the phones we have today. That's how, this is kind of one of those new technology vaccines, kind of like going from the phone on the wall to basically the one you hold in your hand. And that's the part that people are confused by. Is this really safe to use these? And then we can just tell you, yes, they are. In terms of their effectiveness, how well they work, well over 95% of the people in these studies that were evaluated not only did it prevent mild disease, but it also prevented very severe disease. So people didn't get seriously ill and need to be in a hospital. So I think that these vaccines are really the light at the end of the tunnel. We just need to get people there. And I can tell you, I can't wait to get mine. I will not budge in line. There's others who should there be ahead of me relative to their risk of getting the disease and the serious outcome. But when it comes my turn, I'm not going to wait one second. And I'm urging all of my loved ones, my family members, colleagues, all the people I know to get their vaccine too. So I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't really believe both in how safe the vaccines are, how well they work, and how bad this virus really is.
Everyone, Michael Osterholm with us this morning. President-elect Biden says he wants 100 days of masking. But Michael, can we wait until January 20th to start to mask up America?
You know, we should all be masking right now. And, you know, what more importantly is it's a whole series of things we should do. Today here in the Twin Cities, there's a new campaign starting, Stop Swapping Air, that we are behind. You'll see it on billboards throughout the Twin Cities. We actually have a link then where you can go to on our website to actually get information about that. What we're telling people is what you want to do is you don't want to be in a place where you're sharing air with someone who they in turn have shared it with others too. Mm-hmm. Meaning that if you're in your family bubble, you know, if you have just close colleagues or family members, then you're all bubbled up together. It's like that, you know, impenetrable wall you have around you that you're not out sharing air with other people. The primary way this virus is transmitted is I'm in a room, I'm infected, I don't know it, or I'm mildly ill. I breathe out the virus. It floats in the air in the room. I come along in that room, and I breathe some of that air, and then I get infected. And the way we stop that kind of transmission is basically keeping people from being together in these groups. You know, just because you know somebody doesn't mean that they can't infect you. We have far, far too many experiences already coming to light around Thanksgiving, where someone came home for the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, they were there at the dinner table with everyone. It was a wonderful day. The problem was they were infected, didn't know it at the time. They were breathing air into the room, and everyone else got infected. So really, the most important thing is to separate yourself that way. And if you're bubbled, meaning if I have a dear friend and all they see is me and I just see them, then that's fine. Then you're together. And that's not a worry. But if that friend then goes to, you know, someplace where they're with other family members or they're with other friends, and then those people are with other people, pretty soon the air you're breathing, in a sense, is a collection of all the air that those people breathe everywhere. And that's what we're trying to get people to stop doing. The masking will surely slow down that transmission. It doesn't stop it, but it slows it down. Mm-hmm. So it's like a layered effect. You know, if I put one piece of Swiss cheese on a tabletop, I can still see the tabletop through the holes. But if I put two down, I see less. Pretty soon, three, four, five, and pretty soon, everything's covered. I can't see the tabletop. That's what masking is. It's one of those layers of Swiss cheese, you might say, that basically is trying to block this virus from infecting us.
How long do we need to stay in our own protective bubbles?
At this point, unfortunately, it's really until we get vaccinated, and that's what we're all shooting for. And I know that seems like a real hardship. It is a mental health hardship. It's a financial hardship for some people. But the options are otherwise getting sick and potentially dying from this virus infection. As you know, our hospitals are overwhelmed in this country right now. Many are literally at the point of breaking at the seams. They can't handle any new incoming patients. They're that overrun in terms of the number of healthcare workers they have to respond. I keep telling people this is your COVID year. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We have to keep remembering that. But we have to also remember that to get to the end of the tunnel and get to those vaccines, we can't get infected between now and then. So I know the holiday season is going to be hard for people. We're all going to want to get together. These are very emotional times for family members, particularly as we've not often seen some of our family members throughout the course of the last 10 months. So, but this is that time we just need to hang on and get to those vaccines, get them here as early as we can this spring. And then people can feel safe and confident that they're not going to get infected.
Finally, it sounds as if you're echoing Dr. Fauci this morning when he says we're not helpless to fight this raging pandemic.
We're not at all. We're in control of our own destiny here. Now, I would say that with one caveat. Mm-hmm. Those essential workers who have to go to work every day, I can't salute them enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do to keep our society running. What we need for them is to protect them with really good personal protective equipment, the kind of masks that what we call respirators in our business that keep people from really getting infected. Those are effective. Those are the tight face-fitting ones that actually have material that filter the virus out if you breathe through them. We need to get our essential workers personal protective equipment to protect them. And if you protect them, you protect their family. Because if they don't get infected and bring the virus home, then mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, whoever's living with you, the kids, they won't get infected. So essential workers are the ones that we really need to also be mindful of, because they can't stop swapping air in many cases because their very job depends on them being there. So what we have to do is do everything else we can to protect them.
Everybody, that's Michael Osterholm, a member of President-elect Joe Biden's Transition COVID-19 Advisory Board, with us this morning. Thank you for reminding us to stop swapping air. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here. Thank you.
And our program continues right now.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.